You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. And the beauty of NBA 2K24 is you can play in the NBA and you can play in the WNBA. And the WNBA draft just happened last night. And I want to say a huge congratulations to Caitlin Clark for being the number one pick in the WNBA draft, becoming the best draft pick from the University of Iowa since the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ's back on the show today.
Let me see. I got something on.
Oh, he's got the Hawkeyes tee on.
I got something on.
I see you. How you doing, BJ? How was your trip? And what are your thoughts on the WNBA draft?
Man, congratulations. I watched the WNBA draft. Just fantastic. The growth of the game. You're seeing it happen in real time. You know, you always talk about what's next. You always talk about coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's actually happening. And there's so many amazing players, but then suddenly you get this star player. And Caitlin Clark has been fantastic. She has been amazing for the game, for the women's game, but amazing for the game and how she's handled herself. And listen, she is without question one of the greatest players of all time at the collegiate level. And you have every reason to believe she'll continue that growth and be one of the great players that'll play professionally. So I'm really looking forward to her. There's a lot of interest. Of course, it really helps that she's from the University of Iowa. Phenomenal player. She's been great. Congratulations to her, her family, and the university. But it's been amazing to watch, and it was great to watch it. I mean, I watched the first. I actually watched the draft. I wanted to watch it, see who's going where, and the response, Mo. I was just in Vegas last week. Mo, they're changing the Aces games to accommodate for Caitlin Clark. It's unreal.
Changing the schedule. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So it's been great. It's been fantastic to watch. And, congratulations to her and congratulations to the W. Mm-hmm. What? Because this is great for the game. So anything that's great for the game, I'm all for it. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, in other news, the Detroit Pistons, after a disappointing 14-68 season, have begun the search for a new head of basketball operations, a new president. And I think that I know someone who might just be perfect for the job.
Hey, who do you have? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking someone with 23 years of front office experience.
Oh!
I'm thinking of someone who was part of the last front office to bring a title to Detroit.
Oh!
Thinking of someone who's most recently constructed team is now a second seed in the NBA playoffs.
Wow.
Thinking Mr. Scott Perry needs that job.
You know what, Mo? It would be a dream. And, because we're from Detroit, as you know, Mo, I'm a Piston fan, right? So when they finally do turn it around, whenever that happens, just like my Lions, right? Okay, the Detroit Lions. Right. When they finally turn around, I just want Mo to verify. Say, yeah, he was a Pistons fan when they were 14 and whatever they are.
Yep.
Right now, 14 and what, 58 or something? Is that what they
68.
Are?
68. 68. We're doing 68. Including a 28 game loss streak.
Yes. So, I mean, it's tough. But look, Scott Perry is overqualified to run an NBA team. I mean, this gentleman has done it all. He's coached in college, an executive for 20 plus years. He's won a championship as an executive. You know, when you say he's experienced, he understands the game, but more importantly, he understands the people that play that game. So hopefully his name will be out there. I know we will be championing his name as a possible candidate, if those reports are true. And so let's get this thing moving. I don't know what to say about Detroit. you know, my Pistons, I'm going to own it. My Pistons, it was tough. But you know what? Mo, I watched the majority of those games, as you know. It was tough. It was tough this
and,
year.
And I got a message for Tom Gorse, the owner of the Pistons.
Okay.
I got a message. This is the best podcast in the world. If you hire Scott Perry, we might have to start a second podcast just about the Pistons.
Well, that's a gimme. You know, listen, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We have to do that. We just got to pick a team. And right now, I'm going to suggest to you that we just start with the Pistons.
No, we won't. Because the reports are that they're interested in the Bucks general manager, John Horst, as their new president. That's what the reports are saying. But what I will say is this. Giannis ain't in Detroit to carry Detroit to a championship. You're going to need Scott Perry in that house.
Let me tell you something. Now, I don't know who's getting what from the reports. But if I know this, Bo, I can put the back signal out to the people because we got to get the people what we want here.
That's a fact.
If we put this to the people going to put Scott Perry in place. Okay. He's homegrown. There's no one. Okay. This is no one is more qualified to do that job. When you talk about passion and what it means, just like Bob Myers was from San Francisco. He was born in the Bay Area. It hits a little different when you are from that area. For Scott Perry to be able to go back home, we grew up watching Pistons fans. We used to go and sneak into the Pontiac Silverdome in our youth to watch the Pistons play. Okay? So for him to win a championship as an executive already in Detroit, I know what that meant to him. For him to be able to do this as an executive and go back there and help his hometown, it would hit a little different. Man, so I think he would be fantastic, but we don't know. We're just talking here. And
Tom Gorse hasn't used his Twitter account since 2023, and he hasn't used Instagram since 2019. So I don't know how the people are going to reach out to him, but we'll find a way. The other news that happened is USA Basketball announced their roster. But I feel like if we're talking international basketball, BJ, we've got to put the bat signal out, as you said. And we've got to get Coach Sir on the show this week to talk about that Olympic roster. So we're going to leave that until Coach Sir is on the show this week.
I do want to say this. I mean, I just kind of quickly looked at. I saw the news. Is there's no Brunson on the team? I saw?
No. We'll get into this. Don't worry.
Okay.
What we do need to talk about is tonight's NBA play-in games: the Lakers and the Pelicans, and the Warriors and the Kings. The play-in start out west. The Lakers and the Pelicans go head to head to see who's going to be the seventh seed. BJ, me and Scott discussed this yesterday on the show.
Let me guess.
Yes, you should have listened to the show.
Well, I didn't, you know, I was in the gym. Excuse me, Mo. I was in the gym today. You know,
the gym's the best place to listen to the show.
Yeah.
That's all the gym listeners.
No, not that gym. I was in the gym. You know, we started our
pre-draft workouts. You were doing the workouts with the guys.
I was in that
gym. You're excused this time.
Yes. I'm going with the Lakers. I'm going with the Lakers. As you know, I'm a little down right now on the Pelicans. And I love that. That hurts me to say that. But they just haven't been playing. Well, I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, I don't know. But you look at the team and you go, look at this talent. Like, it just doesn't even make sense to me of how this team is now in the play-in. They are incredibly talented. Brandon Ingram played, I believe, in the last game. And then they were down like by 30.
To the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know what's going on with this team. So I think the Lakers probably win this game.
And what are the key factors in this game that you're going to be looking at?
You know, sometimes, Mo, you just have good matchups. And you have a matchup that works for you. The Lakers, I don't know the facts of it, what the matchup is, but it seems or appears to me that the Lakers, every time they play the Pelicans, Anthony Davis steps up, LeBron steps up, and they just play well for whatever the reason is against this team. Now,
well, AD's got a little extra incentive for the way that he
left
the
Warriors.
He can't embarrass himself by losing.
And I don't think the Lakers want to play against pace because they're not like a young team, right? They don't want to play against Sacramento and they don't want to play against Golden State. So I think this is the best matchup for them to advance and get into the playoffs. So I expect them to take care of business. They've been sitting in New Orleans now for a couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they have a really good chance. And I'm going to pick the Lakers to win this game.
Well, in that game, LeBron had, what, 15 assists in the first half? In that last regular season
Yeah,
game?
Something like that, yes. How about that?
If he's doing that, I don't know how you're stopping him. He finished with a triple-double, 28 points, 11 assists, 17 assists, 11 rebounds. So do you think the key for the Pelicans is to play with as much pace as possible, get out and running, get Zion going in transition? He only had 12 points in that last game, and Brandon Ingram only had 13. I don't expect both of those guys to have such low-scoring games, but this is the team that got destroyed by the Lakers in the play the in-season tournament as well.
I think the key for the pace for the Pelicans is to play with pace. And I've been very vocal about they don't have that player that can do that, right? You know, CJ McCollum is a really nice player in his own right. However, he's not a player that plays downhill. So now that puts a lot of responsibility for Zion, who's probably their best interior player. He's playing some version of a point forward. So you got to, your power forward who's dribbling the ball, playing downhill because he has the ability to do that. Brandon Ingram comes back, and I don't know where he's going to be at physically. I just don't, what can I expect from him? He had, what, one game? He's been out for an extended amount of time. He comes back in one game, and then now he's playing in the biggest game of the year. So, well, I don't know what to expect from him. Just give me what you got. Zion is certainly capable of having a game. I don't care who he's playing. But I think he's an interior player, and they have him playing out on the perimeter. You know, they have him playing kind of a five-out offense, which, you know, he's good enough to do it. However, I think the big fellas probably can do down. I think he's probably better suited, in my opinion, to be in the interior, kind of build from the inside and out, and then go out and kind of dominate. I don't see anyone that can stop him in the interior. I don't see anyone.
I mean, it's pretty hard to stop him on the perimeter as well. I mean, Point Zion is a pretty unstoppable force when he gets going. So we're going to see how that goes. And the other game between the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, the winner gets to play the loser of the Lakers versus the Pelicans.
Wow. I don't think there won't be a problem for the intensity of the game. I can tell you that much.
It's going to be heated.
There won't be a problem with the media having storylines. There won't be a problem with the tension and all of the emotion that will come with this game. And it's you know, winner takes all. So I'm really looking forward to this. The Warriors clearly have the advantage in their experience. I think the Sacramento Kings, by all accounts, I think this is probably a surprise for them to be playing in the play-in after such a terrific season, regular season last year. Malik Monk, once he went down, you can see the importance of his team. They didn't play as well down the stretch in his absence. So in saying all of that, I still think it will be a very competitive game. I think it will be a game where the Sacramento Kings will play with a sense of desperation. And I think it will come down to this. I think it will come down to the experience of the Warriors versus the youth of the Sacramento Kings. Okay. Both of these teams, they're right up the road from one another. It will be a very intense game. I believe it's played in Sacramento, correct?
It's played
in Sacramento. So I think that gives them an advantage in this type of setting. And it'll be highly competitive. So I'm really looking forward to this game. It'll be loud in there. But it's anyone's game. I really believe that. If you're asking me who's gonna, I'm just gonna go with the champ, right? I'm gonna go with when I say the champs, these guys have won multiple championships over the last decade or so. So I'm gonna go with the Warriors in a one-game situation. However, I think it's gonna be very competitive, and I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if Sacramento wins. But I think minus Malik Monk, I think it's gonna be really tough. I think it's going to be really tough for them.
Well, BJ, I did something fun today. I went back over 100 episodes and listened to what we recorded on the 24th of October, 2023. We did our award predictions. Do you want to know how badly they went?
Of course they are, because this is what you do. You do this to make us look bad. I mean,
I do this because it's fun. So anyway, do you remember who you predicted for a number of these?
I have no idea, but tell me. So, I know I missed them all though, but tell
the
me.
The MVP. We also had the 2K simulation. The 2K simulation predicted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be the MVP.
Okay.
You selected Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay. I was
top 5 or 6, and I chose Zion Williamson. Well. He did not come into the season in shape, and he had the whole catastrophe with that lady who was bothering him, and these things kind of derailed his season a little bit. But since he got back on track, he did look very impressive. He just didn't do it for the entire season. But I think we both missed on that one. Defensive Player of the Year, NBA 2K simulated Evan Mobley winning that award, and Evan Mobley was also your pick. My pick was Victor Wembanyama, which was almost on the money. I think he's going to come second if he doesn't win. Rookie of the Year, Wembanyama, obviously, for 2K and for you.
Who said Wemby?
Well, my thing was Chet, because I thought the Spurs wouldn't let Wemby play enough games. And then I went on to say he's going to be Defense Player of the Year. I don't know what logic I was going on. But yeah, Wemby or Chet, that's what I had. And then the Most Improved Player, this is the worst one. The 2K simulation had Mikal Bridges. I had Tyrese Maxey, which I think was a pretty good pick. But you had, do you remember who you picked?
I have no idea.
Jordan Poole.
Wow. That's a major one.
I think Jordan Poole was the disappointment of the season for me. Like, they've given you your own team. You love scoring. Go out there and score. And we were talking on the episode. I went back and listened. Oh, he's going to be able to just have 30-point games and this and that. And
right.
How horribly it went. He ended up getting demoted to the bench in Washington.
That was not good.
That was absolutely horrendous. But I thought it was fun anyway to have a listen. And hopefully we do a bit better next year. Hopefully next year we do a little better. I'm just going to predict Wemby for every award.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with it. We're going to have fun.
I'll tell you now, I'm predicting Wemby for every award next year.
You know what? They'll put you in the top two for sure.
Exactly. Except for sixth man, I have to figure that out.
Okay. But, I was thinking about this with Wemby. Okay. At some stage of his career, just like Wilt Chamberlain was like, they said, oh, Wilt, you can't pass. And he just said, hey, I'm going to lead the league in assists 1 year. And he did it. So I was thinking, I think Wembanyama, if he wants, I think he could lead the league in like every field goal percentage. Yeah, I think field goal percentage, blocks, steals, points, rebounds.
I don't think he could lead the league in field goal percentage, because there are guys in the league that only take field goal attempts when they're in the paint. Wemby shoots a lot of threes now.
Again, if he wants to for 1 year, just like Wilt Chamberlain said, oh, you don't think I can win it in assists?
Okay.
He has the ability, if he wanted to.
Do you think he could lead the league in points, rebounds, and assists? He would have to average a triple-double at least.
Only if he is not playing the center position, I think he could.
I don't think he could on Spurs. Because to lead the league in scoring, you're going to have to average 35 plus a night in this modern NBA. Then to lead the league in assists, you're going to have at least 12 assists a game. Do I trust his teammates to let that happen? They're going to be happy with him taking...
Well, you're looking at the team now. They're going... Listen.
Yeah, but how much is going to change by next year?
Okay, over the next 10 years, I think he can do it. Over the next decade. I mean, this guy is put...
And just to put it into context, this season's points leader was Luka Doncic, 33.9. Rebounds, Domantas Sabonis, 13.7. Assists, Tyrese Haliburton, 10.9. Blocks, Wembanyama already leads the league in 3.6. Steals, De'Aaron Fox, 2 steals a game. That's the numbers right now. Let me find
He won't be far off.
Yeah, let me find it. He's 22nd with 1.2.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be somewhere in there.
But bear in mind, he's only half the season he played minutes restriction.
He only did this in 30 minutes.
Which, yeah. Half the season he played less than 25 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. I just, if he wants, I think he can lead the league in every major statistical category.
I like that. They're going to hate you on Instagram and TikTok when I put the clip out because.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Like,
that's the internet. They will find a way. And here's what fascinates me about the internet, right? They will find a way. And this is what ESPN has done to the brains of basketball fans across the world. They'll find a way to mention LeBron somehow in the comments. They'll make the whole conversation. Anything we talk about on a show, they'll find a way to make it about LeBron.
Well, I just want to make this very clear. He has the ability to do whatever he wants. And you know what's really cool about doing it is he doesn't have to do it to pad stats. He can actually do it in an impactful way.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can average 35 points a game if he so desires. For, without question. He can, if he's playing the power forward position, that means he will be on the perimeter a lot more than what he is as a center, right? And he will be able to rebound the basketball, dribble it out. They'll be able to play with him on the perimeter and drive and kick and all those things. For sure, he can get 10 assists a night. For sure. For sure. You can run split cuts off of him, pinch post things. I mean, you got to double team him now. So for sure, he can do that if he so desires.
Mm-hmm.
If he so desires, he can for sure. But he shoots threes, which he should shoot threes. He's a good shooter. But, I mean, well, let's imagine he plays with – they draft a big guard where they can just run screen roll with him and lobs and stuff. He can shoot easily, Mo, 65%. Easily he can do that.
Well, this season he shot 46.5%. I mean, and that was 32.5% on threes. His spot-up three-point shooting let him down because off the dribble, he's cashing him in. But off the dribble, he shot one of the worst percentages in the league.
And he's going to be better off the catch next year. And he's going to be better next year.
Well, he had 10.6 rebounds in 30 minutes a night. He had 21.4 points. We'll see.
Yeah, I think he can do it.
BJ, are you going to miss not talking about Wembanyama for the next couple of months until the Olympics? Because he finds a way to creep up in every episode.
You know what I'm really fired up for? You know what I'm really fired up for? More than anything right now. More than anything. Okay, I'm going to even say this. I'm more fired up for this, I think now, more than the NBA Finals, is the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Are you pulling
it up? No. I'm really intrigued about the implications of what could happen in the Olympics. I'm fascinated now to say, okay, the best players in the NBA right now are foreign-born players.
But they're all split up and divided. It's not like we got versus USA.
Okay, Mo, I'm fascinated. Why? Because more times than not, the best player on the team will actually, win the game.
Yeah. Okay. You can have the one best player. However, Team USA they could have Kawhi Leonard as their 12th man. We'll get into this with Coach Sir. After this show,
Well, let Coach Sir say what he said. Well, I just want to say this. I am really, really, I think this is going to be a critical moment in the game. This Olympics right here. I think this will be, we will look back and say, this will be a critical moment. Because let me tell you something. I've never seen the world so confident coming into the Olympics.
I've never been more confident in Team USA.
Okay. I think the rest of the world is like feeling pretty good right now.
Time will tell. time will tell. But in the meantime, we've got the NBA play-in. We'll be back with you tomorrow, letting you know what happened, how the games went, breaking all of that down for you, and then giving you a preview of the Eastern Conference play-in matchup. So make sure you subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Appreciate each and every one of you who tunes in and listens. And until next time, you know the vibes. Get buckets.